Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. It is the end of 2019, which means we are wrapping up another year. Actually, some might even argue another decade, because depending on where you fall, some people say 2020 at the end is the end of the day. We'll skip the semantics. But anyways, it is the Ohio boys back in town, shutting down 2019. Mr. Rick Vanover up in Columbus, Ohio. How's it going, Rick?
Hey, Brad, it's going great. I'm going to be on the side of this is indeed the end of the decade,
yeah.
because I count my numbers at zero. That's what it comes down to. Where do you start counting? So.
Yep. It's a hill to die on for some people. You know, GIF or GIF, we have decades. And so,
yeah.
You know, what's a good internet war?
I'm excited. It's going to be an interesting decade. If I look at where we were 2009 to 2010, wow. I look at my own personal practice. I look at you know, the technologies out in market. It's a whole different world now. What will the next one look like? It's like, I don't know if it's scary or exciting or both, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, if we could truly predict it, we could have a lot of fun and make a whole bunch of money doing it. But for now, we're a little bit on a ride, right? We're kind of waiting to see how this cloud works out, how on-premises is going to evolve. Although I think on-prem is going to be just a hybrid world, at least for most organizations, I think is probably the way forward. And it's been a big decade. I mean, you look at where you could jump back to where Microsoft started at the beginning of the decade, right? They had a big mobile platform. They weren't really a PC maker. They weren't they were kind of a cloud vendor, not really, but cloud wasn't really a thing yet. And now you look at the major players and how it's all shifted. It's quite a change.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite a change. You look at the tablet war. There's a very established player, definitely enterprise ready with the Surface line, Azure, which continues to impress me. Like you and I were talking, I've really gravitated a lot towards Azure Storage, and the more that you look, the more I like it. And then but look at like 10 years ago, right? The technology on top was like 2008 R2 and SQL Server and Exchange. And now look at where Office 365 is. And now look at database is actually still very good, but you can refactor it and go into Azure. And now SQL on Linux. Whoa, crazy talk, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's like so many new things that you just wouldn't have ever thought.
Yeah, originally in the show notes, I pointed out, I said, Rick, what's your standout announcement of 2019? But what if we went all the way back to like 2010?
Yeah, of the decade. It's Azure. It's one word. It's Azure. I mean, they've come up and become a formidable player in the cloud war. And I'll go so far as to say that we need multiple cloud players. We need choice in the cloud. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I think above all, just from competitive reasons. I mean, if you're in grocery or if you're in retail or if you're in distribution or industries impacted by that, you might be precluded from, using one type of cloud. And so you almost have to go to Azure. So I think it's good to have multiple cloud choices. Is two enough? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think across the decade, Azure absolutely has been my single kind of like standout momentum. They've invested in it, and it goes back to Satya Nadella and the leadership team that they've recognized this opportunity. It's very impressive what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple ways I think about this. One, I totally agree. I think in all regards, Azure has built a foundation of sustainability for Microsoft going forward for the next at least decade, if not more. So from like a financial business product perspective, they're absolutely founded in that, in Azure. To me, I think some of the biggest change or biggest announcements or standout things is Microsoft's adoption and support of the open environment, really, right? Supporting of Linux, right? We just got Teams on Linux. Microsoft is really embracing open source community at this point. And if you would have gone back to 2009 and said, hey, Microsoft's going to be a primary contributor to the open source community, people would have thought you would have been crazy.
I actually asked that question on the record, that type of question. And I won't throw that individual under the bus, but it's if you're following Microsoft stuff, you know this individual. And I got a short one-word answer, no. Mm. And that was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And maybe it was 2010, 2011, but through the decade, it changed. And
it really did.
It we have data points, right? Most of the operating systems that run in the cloud are Linux, right? Those types of points. And I think when you look at some of those decisions, the ecosystem play, You know, it's definitely a smart bet, a smart approach to win in the long run for sure.
Yeah, and it's paying off dividends. They also bought GitHub. I think that was pretty big, but I don't want to say it's groundbreaking. But what that shows is, again, that supporting of that type of a community, the giving back, the, you know, taking in community contributions. And so it's been a big decade for the Microsoft camp. Some big wins, obviously, the Azure side, the big losses for Microsoft, obviously, on the mobile platform side. But at the end of the day, their revenue is in the 30 billions roughly every quarter. It's gone up. They're in a healthy and sustainable place. It's kind of hard to say that, hey, they're in any sort of trouble at this point.
Nope, that's not a problem. Money's not a problem. I mean, I have trouble visualizing economics on that scale.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But the reality is, I know a lot of people at Microsoft. They treat their employees right, which honestly, if there's money problems, that's one of the first things that go. You know, so everything from benefits to, you know, compensation and stuff like that. So, no, I think that they are a very, I don't know if there is a national like best places to work type of thing, but I couldn't imagine that they wouldn't be scored well. And you know, a lot of Microsoft people I talk to, they have worked there a long time. That's a very important thing. It's like it sounds crazy to just kind of gravitate to primitive observations, but when everyone's a lifer, that's actually a really good thing, you know. I mean, you have to bring in new talent, I get that, but to retain people so long is truly admirable today. You know, because the competition for jobs is high, and if you got that type of experience on that type of scale with that type of company, you know, people want that, right? And I know people who have moved on. I know people have gone back to Microsoft even. So, yeah, I think they're a very safe bet, very admirable what they've done with the decade, and I don't see anything changing to negatives.
We will see. I mean, obviously, it's hard to predict what's going to happen in the next 10 years, but I think it's fair to say that Microsoft is going into 2020 on a good foot, right? A strong, healthy platform, and we will see how they evolve in the years to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one quick highlight that, because it is the month of December, it is the holidays. There's not a ton going on, but Microsoft's Windows Server Core container image is now 40% smaller. So if that was a big deal for you, you've got some good news on the horizon.
Well, and that's one of those things that's going to help enable a next generation technology. So if you look into the next decade, the container word is not going away. I look at what is happening in some of the industry trends, and Microsoft's actually a couple years into already supporting it. So they're already in the right place to, if there is this explosive adoption, I'm very confident that they'll have a strong market presence. But that's a new type of application that is not going to go away. There's going to be a lot of that. And I'll issue a point of caution to the listeners, because I've talked to a lot of enterprises that have containerized application projects going on. This is the same problem, different. And what I mean by that is a lot of times we would have to, let's go back 10 years or more, and when .NET apps were the thing, right? The biggest like IT infrastructure problem was, oh, we got to install this .NET framework. Because that's what the developers are doing. That phenomena is significantly multiplied today because, oh, we got to install this container engine because that's what the developers are doing. So my practical advice right now is get to know what the developers on your company are doing. Are they using these new technologies? Because they do not think about the fundamental infrastructure practices around availability, around backup, around management. The persistent container, the non-persistent container. And I'll give you one little piece of information. And this, I believe, when I asked, this was a year or two ago, but even like IIS container images for web services, right? Logs are kept on the container. That could be really important forensically, right? So you got to think about how these apps are developed and is this in line with the requirements of the data and stuff. So definitely don't let it happen in a vacuum because then it'll be too unmanageable. But you know, with like those smaller container images, that's just going to make it easier for the developers to do what they need to do.
Yeah, no, that's always good advice, right? You got to know what's coming down your pipeline because you make a good point. The developers are going to use, for the most part, what's convenient to them, what's going to allow them to be most productive, but they don't always necessarily think about how the enterprise is actually going to deploy that at scale.
Right. They're only concerned about their deadline delivery date. And when that project is due, or when that functionality needs to be implemented, and however they get there, it doesn't in the end matter to them. but it does matter to the traditional infrastructure people. So that's my, I've seen that happen with enterprises and conversations a lot recently.
Very, very cool. Well, Rick, let's shrink it down a little smaller than a container. One of the things I love to do at the end of the year is just talk about what are you using now, right? I think it's probably been at least a year since we've talked about what your phone is, what's your laptop, you know, what are you using to get
done? So in the last year, I've kept the same phone platform, Samsung Galaxy S9. Mm-hmm. I was an S8, gave that to my daughter. We have a rule. I buy the new one, she gets the old one. Keep them for about a year and a half, not quite two. And I've been Android as long as I've had a smartphone. I can't quite do that other thing. I have to go and use my wife's every now and then when she needs something done. I'm like, I could never use this, which is funny because she says the exact same thing about my Android. So I really like Samsung's hardware. And actually, okay, this is the dish, so I can dish here.
Yep.
So I use mobile pay, Samsung Pay or Android, or not Android Auto, but Samsung Pay. It's a mobile pay. You just use your thumb right here and you can authenticate. It sets up that NFC transmission. I love it because a lot of times when it works, it's quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like it because the Samsung program actually gives you cash back. So I'm buying a lot of my cases and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
And this, the Samsung hardware for a phone has always been really good. And if you haven't looked at it, check out their Samsung hardware for a case. That's good stuff too. So that's my device. I actually don't use a tablet. I have a Surface at home. Actually, I have many Surfaces at home, but like it's, you know, their kitchen computer, their that type of thing. And I love my ThinkPad, full-blown Windows 10. I use that for compute on the go.
Mm-hmm.
I've transitioned to carry less compute power with me because every significant work I do is in a cloud or a data center. And that is because one of the things in the last decade that have really changed my life is single sign-on pages. And it really starts with Azure AD, right? And Office 365. And we've tied all of our services in together. So like I can go to a browser, do my two-factor authentication from any computer in the world, and I'm almost completely productive. So this is a piece of advice I've said for a long time, that the device doesn't matter. And above all, now it doesn't more than anything. So I love my ThinkPad. I have one at home as well. Actually, we have a great deal here at Veeam where, you know, if you make the case for it, they'll give you another issued device to use at home.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, I do calls with Europe. I do calls with APJ. Sure. So I usually just leave the laptop here and I use a Kensington lock to keep it secured to the desk, but I keep the one at home. And then when I travel, this one goes with me. But, you know, between OneDrive for business, all the data is transparent, right? So the device truly doesn't matter. So I love that. I do have a Surface in here, actually. I use that just for Twitter on the vertical TV. But, you know, I don't have a tablet. It came down to traveling lighter.
Yep.
And I probably could get a current Surface and make that my travel computer, but I haven't really felt the need once I got that slimmer line ThinkPad. Because I have a rule when I travel, which is, and we had that one episode when we talked about major event best practices, right? Pre-Ignite. But the rule is if it doesn't fit in this little messenger bag, it's too big. And this can fit a whole laptop. I've got, you know, room for my keys, a couple of chargers, always have two. And, you know, passport, cables, and this is my favorite little thing, actually. We started giving this out, but I see if I can demonstrate this on video. But it's like little spray sanitizer. Put this on your phone, and you'll basically have a sanitized screen. So that's always a good idea on the inside, too. But my rule is if it doesn't fit in the messenger bag, it's too much. And the ThinkPad fits in there fine. I can go all day on battery saver mode without charging. Life is good. So my... And then the only other thing that I'm looking for a better solution is, you know, at the desk, I use this Microsoft Live Chat, which is a great headset for, I think, less than $30. And best part about it is the Microsoft Live Chat hardware here has this button. And you can just simply hit.
Oh, and it just mutes you.
Yeah. So if you're ever doing presentations and stuff, this is a lot easier to mute yourself than clicking into a mute button. So this was Yeah, the LX3000, which they've had this brand, this model out, they've implemented it a number of times through the years. They did make a small change to the buttons recently, but I love the inline mute. Now, first of all, because it gives you the light, but second of all, it's just quicker than going to the mouse area, because you know me, I'm always looking at some other app when we're on a matter. So that's a quick rundown of some of the things I'm using. I do want to look for something a little bit smaller that's suitable for travel, but the sound quality on this is good. I mean, your rig is always sounding really good, but I don't think you could travel with that.
No, this would be, although as a company, we do actually have a what we call podcast in a box, but it is it's a it, a box is putting it lightly. It's more of a crate, a shipping crate. It's I think 3.5 feet by 18 inches by I think 18 inches. Like it's a big box.
So this really big candy bar here, this is my podcast in a box. This is a little Zoom mic. So these are really great because I'll bust out the Veeam podcast if I have a good guest here. Pro tip, always carry an extra battery. Okay. So this is a small little jobby here. Granted, Brad's production quality for the masses is much higher, but I keep this in the bag as well. So it fits in the courier bag. So I can always, if I have the opportunity for a podcast, I'll just whip out the microphone and go get it.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Any parting words for 2020, or are we just gonna see you in the new decade? Maybe, depending on
Well,
if you call it a new decade.
how about both? There's an and, it's not an or. You will see me in the new decade for sure. But my parting words, just for the years, it's been a great set of technology innovations across the board. And my advice to IT professionals is learn something new. If you're not, it'll be, learned for you by someone else. And then the other kind of side of it here at Veeam, we're getting ready for Veeam On. We have our internal event starting next month, like a kickoff, a giant pep rally situation. And then we're going to go full steam on Veeam On. So Veeam version 10 is going to be released very soon. We're in the release candidate now, right before the end of the year. And that's going to change the market. I've been using language like floodgates are going to bust internally because it's going to be a huge release. And the Azure agentless image-based backup product is it's almost ready for release as well. So there's going to be a lot coming from Veeam, which you can just follow on Twitter at Veeam or me at Rick Vanover.
And we'll include those links down in the description below, Rick. But we very much appreciate you taking time out of your in this like in between holiday thing.
I'm on vacation. I'm barely wearing pants here, Brad.
It's really... Well, at least thanks for clarifying. We at least know that there's something
Barely.
on. We're not
Yeah.
gonna call your bluff.
It's heads
But
up.
yeah, with the holidays on a Wednesday really kind of screws up 2 weeks back to back. But it's been a good year. I think it's been a good year.
It has.
So, to everybody else, thanks for tuning in during 2019. We'll catch all of you right back here in 2020. Make sure you hit the subscribe buttons. We'll catch all of you right back here next time.